Pray with me. Father, we thank you for another day you've given us to worship and to serve you. We pray now that your Holy Spirit would continue to fill our hearts and help us to see exactly how we can become holy. We thank you and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, many of you know that we unveiled our new mission and vision statements last month. I'd like us to look at them again. If you could turn in your bulletins to where it says the parish life, you'll see our vision stated and our mission stated. Notice that our vision is very clear. It's to see lives transformed through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing in life, having a personal relationship with the Lord. And then our mission is to share His love and His word with our community and the world through Christ-centered outreach, worship, prayer, and biblical study. I want you to notice in both of them the emphasis on Christ and His Word. Notice also the importance we place on biblical study. All of us are called to study and know God's Word. But how do we do that? Do we just read it and hope that some of it sticks or resonates with us? Do we read it here and there when we feel down or when we feel good? The truth is, we are to be students of the Word, and we are to engage it intellectually, but also spiritually. And when we do so with humility. James writes that we are to approach the living Word of God, which gives us salvation, with humility. In other words, when we talk about an intellectual pursuit, we can fall into one of two traps. We can go to the Word and say, hey, I'm here just to learn as much as I can. And sometimes when you get into that mode, you are basically saying, hey, it's not about me following and submitting to it. It's just me trying to master it. That's a danger. On the other extreme, sometimes some of us, we feel like it's too much detail, too much information, and we kind of put it away and we say, I just can't get into it, and we give up. Neither approach is healthy. We need to go to the Word with an open heart, with humility, and we need to have a plan of action. We need to have a regimen that brings out the meaning of the Word, and that can only come through consistency. I want you to think about it for a moment. If you engage in physical exercise, if you want to get in shape, you're never going to get in shape by running a couple miles once a week. You're never going to get in shape by lifting weights every other week or once a week. You have to do it consistently. It's the same with God's Word. Now, when we talk about biblical study, there is a term that's often used, and that is inductive Bible study. What is inductive Bible study? Inductive Bible study is to study the Scriptures in such a way that you understand their context and that you ask three important questions. A, what is it saying? That's observation. B, what does it mean? That's interpretation. And finally, C, how does it apply to my own personal life? That is application. And in the coming months, I'm going to be preaching on a particular passage, whatever passage that is part of our lectionary for that day. You know that over the last year, I've been doing a number of series. I did the series on Hebrews. We did a series, Why I Believe. But what I want to do in the next couple months is to just take a passage and unpack it, answering these three main questions when it comes to inductive Bible study. What do I observe? What does it mean, and how does it apply to my life? And this morning, we're given an incredible passage that has universal application. In fact, I believe it is one of the most practical and insightful accounts found in all of Holy Scripture. It's the story of Martha and Mary, a tale of two sisters, of what happened when Jesus came to visit them. And so I want us to look at it again, if you would. Actually, I want you to take out your Bibles, because whenever you study the Word, you need to understand the context of the passage itself. That really brings out the meaning of the passage. So turn in your Bibles to page 1034, because the context of this passage is in Luke chapter 10. Now, what's interesting to note, again, looking at the background of the passage, and listen, this terminology and inductive Bible study, some of you have heard before, I'm going to be repeating it in the coming weeks, so don't worry if you don't keep it all straight. It'll all kind of fall into place as we spend more time together in the Word. Now, you'll see at the end of page 1035 there at the bottom, you in bold print, Martha and Mary. Now, as they were traveling along, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. In the Near East, as in many cultures, when you have a guest, whether it be a stranger or a friend, there is an incredible obligation to show hospitality. And the way you show hospitality is preparing a meal. And so that is what Martha is going to be doing. The very fact that she welcomed him into her home means that she's going to be preparing a meal for the Lord. And so we then read, though, that in terms of observation, what's going on, who's the who, we got Martha, and she also has a sister, Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. So they're doing two different things. One is welcoming the Lord, and obviously Mary was welcoming Jesus too, but Martha was busy preparing the meal, while Mary didn't just greet the Lord, but actually sat at his feet, was fixed on him. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? And tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." So here we have a tale, like I said, of two sisters, one who is busy serving, the other who is busy at the feet of Jesus listening. What's the difference? What is going on here? One is working, the other is worshiping. Now, oftentimes when people approach this passage, it almost gives us the impression, because Jesus says that, "Mary, you're doing the good thing," that it's an either or in the Christian life, that either you're a worker or you're a worshiper. But that is not the intention of this passage, because God does call us to work. He has given all of us work to do. In fact, let's now look at where this is placed in Luke chapter 10. Look at this now, going back to page 1034. Notice that the bold print is the 70 are sent out. Now, who are the 70? The 70 are not the apostles. The 70 are another set of disciples that Jesus sends out to represent him, to share the good news. And many scholars believe that the 70 represent the Gentiles, that the fact that the gospel was not just for Israel, but for the Gentiles. Well, why is that? Now, this goes into what is the meaning behind the passage, the interpretation. Well, we know in Genesis chapter 10 that there are 70 nations listed, 70 Gentile nations besides Israel. And Luke, whose intention was to write to Gentile Christians, was highlighting the fact that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is not just for Jews, but it's for Gentiles as well. And so Jesus sends out 70 to represent him, to share the good news, in addition to the 12 who are closer to Jesus, who are called the apostles. They're disciples, but they're called the apostles. And so we are called to be ambassadors of Jesus, right? So that's work, right? To do. Now, notice the second part of Luke chapter 10. You'll see in the second column there on page 1035, the title, "The Good Samaritan." We all know the parable of the Good Samaritan. The teacher of the law was saying, "Hey, Jesus, who is our neighbor?" And Jesus gave the parable of the Samaritan who sees a man who had been beaten and left for dead, who had been robbed, attacked by criminals, and a scribe passed by him and ignored him, and a Pharisee passed by him and ignored him. It'd be like me passing by and seeing someone on the side of the road, and just keep going. Same thing. But then a Samaritan whom the Jews despised. They thought they were pagans. They thought they were lowlifes. A Samaritan, though, ministered to that man. And so the question is, who was really the man's neighbor? And the teacher of the law had to say, the Samaritan was. And so what was the point of Jesus' parable? Why did Luke include it in this chapter? Because we're not only to share the good news, the spiritual truths of the gospel, but we are actually to minister to people who are in physical need, people who have financial need, the poor, the needy, those who are sick, those who are downcast, those who are left for dead. We are called to tangibly share Christ's love in action. That's work, right? But here's the beautiful thing. Luke ends with the account of Mary and Martha. And Mary and Martha is doing all this good work, but Mary is doing something that is fundamental, that has to be done before we engage in any type of ministry. What's Mary doing? She's spending time with Jesus. She's at Jesus' feet. And so the question is not the choice between work and worship. The question involves priorities. And the reason why Martha was not first concerned about listening to Jesus and spending time with him is because she was distracted with all she had to do. Now, did Jesus need an elaborate meal? No. She could have just gotten him some bread and water. But she was so engaged and focused that she lost sight of what is most important. Now, do you remember in my prayer that I began, I said, I prayed that we would be holy, right? That we would learn what it means to be holy. I'm going to share with you the central message of this passage right now. Hear it plain. If there's anything you're going to take away today, it's this. You cannot be holy. You cannot become holy unless you are spending time with the Holy One. Think about that for a moment. You know, we talk about how we got to spend time with the Lord if we're going to know Him. We got to spend time with the Lord if we're going to grow in our relationship with Him. But ultimately, the reason why we spend time with the Lord is to be holy. And what does it mean to be holy? To be holy means to be like Jesus. Remember, holy means to be set apart unto God. But it goes beyond that. If I'm set apart unto God for His purpose, why we call this a holy place, why we call this a holy altar, why we say the confirmation is holy is because it's set apart for God's purpose. It's for God. But we are to be a holy people, and the only way we can be a holy people is if we spend time with the Holy One. Now think about this for a moment. Growing up, I know my dad gave me the story. I was trying to recollect, I think it's of the duck hanging around with the geese, and the farmer ends up shooting at the duck, and the whole point is that the duck was hanging around with the geese, and so you're known by the company you keep. You know that story, right? Because here's the truth. The people you hang out with, you're going to become like them. If you hang out with people who cuss, who are negative, who are cynical, that's going to rub off on you. That's why for those of us who are parents, we want to make sure our kids are hanging around with good people. If you're hanging around with people who have character, who have morals, that's going to rub off on you. Now, that doesn't mean we don't associate with people who are dealing with those things and are sinners, or we're all sinners, but you know what I'm saying, people who are not following the Lord, how else are you going to reach them? But that should not be the company we keep on a consistent basis. Why? Because who you spend time with, you become like. And so in order for us to be holy, to be like Jesus, we have to spend time with the Lord. Now, what's interesting about Mary is that we find Martha and Mary mentioned three times in the Gospels. We have it here first in Luke chapter 11, and then we also find them in John 11. Remember, their brother Lazarus died, and Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know you can raise him, and Jesus says, if you believe, you will live, and he will live, even if you die, right? But then Martha goes and tells Mary. And Mary says the same thing. But you know what Mary does that's different than Martha? Mary falls at Jesus' feet to express her woe. And so we find that here in Luke 11, Jesus falls at Jesus' feet to express her worship and to listen to him. And then in John 11, she falls at his feet to express her woe. And then in John 12, after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, you remember what she did? Mary fell at his feet and poured perfume over his feet to again show her devotion to the Lord. Worship. Worship. If I'm going to be a faithful ambassador like those 70 that were sent out, if I'm going to be one who loves my neighbor like the Good Samaritan, I must first spend time at the feet of Jesus. Martha, we know, learned this important truth. Because in John 12, remember the third time that we find Martha and Mary, after Lazarus is risen from the dead, we find Martha preparing a meal again. But she's not just preparing a meal for Jesus and her sister and her brother. She's preparing a meal for Jesus, her sister, her brother who's now alive, and all the 12. And she's not complaining one bit. Now, I want to close by talking a little bit about practical application. What does it mean for us? Well, I think you know that if I'm going to be holy, I need to spend time with the Holy One. There are two things that I need to keep in mind. A, there are going to be things in my life that are going to keep me from spending time with my Lord. And those things, what does Jesus call them? He calls them distractions. And distractions end up doing two things in our lives that Jesus mentions. They cause us to worry, and they cause us to be bothered. Think about it for a moment. Do I have to list all the distractions in life? I think we could all come up with about 100 right off the bat, right? Here and there, right? And Jesus says, no, put them all aside. You need to spend time with me. Think about time for a moment. All of us are given the same amount of time each and every day, 24 hours. And yet that time gets sucked up, right? The very fact that you're here this morning is a demonstration that you're saying, God, this hour and a half, this 2 hours on a Sunday morning is more important than anything else in the world. That's why you're here, and that's a great thing. That's a blessing to be had. But it just doesn't start and end here. It continues beyond the four walls. It continues each and every day. And so we have to ask ourselves, how is our devotional life? Am I setting aside time just to be with Jesus? You say, well, Father Ward, I'm uncomfortable. You know, I get kind of fidgety and I don't know what to focus on. How about just sit there and be quiet and reflect and start to ask the Lord to teach you some things? But you know, that's not enough. We have to get in His Word. How about spend some time every day in His Word? Remember I said we don't want our biblical study, our devotional life to be haphazard? How about follow the daily office lectionary? How about some of you already do this, but you need to be careful not to fall into a rut that you're just going through the motions. I want you to look now at our mission statement again. Notice that the mission statement says to share Christ's love in His Word. Think of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Think of the 70 being sent out. There you go. With our community in the world through Christ-centered outreach, worship, prayer, and biblical study. Now, we put Christ-centered outreach as the front end to just be a reminder, because sometimes we can get passive and forget that, hey, we're supposed to be always out there reflecting Jesus. But notice the last three are really the foundation, because the last three reflect spending time at the feet of Jesus. Prayer, worship, biblical study. All of them are inseparable. They're one with each other. They're like the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. Worship, prayer, and biblical study, three endeavors, one purpose, to be with the Holy One. And if we're doing that, then that is going to empower us to go out and reach the world for Jesus. That's the overarching message of this incredible account of Martha and Mary, written some 2,000 years ago, but still applicable today. And so I encourage everyone here to remember this one truth. You will not become holy unless you spend time with the Holy One. And the amount that you actually start to see transformation in your life will be determinant upon how much time you spend with the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for the witness of your word and for the examples of your servants, Martha and Mary. We thank you that Mary fixed her eyes on you, Lord. She sat at your feet, that you acknowledged that she was doing what was right, that she was taking advantage of all that you are. We also know that Martha, she meant well. She was a worker. But sometimes, Lord, we get caught up in the work that we have to do and lose sight of why we're doing it. Help all of us, when we feel burdened and overworked, to take time out and reflect, are we really spending time with you first? And I pray that for every person here who has challenges, help us to realize that the only way we're going to overcome those challenges is by spending time with you. As you said, Lord, whoever hears my words and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the storms of life come, that house will still stand. We know, Lord, that the house represents our lives. So may we build our lives on you. May we spend time at your feet each and every day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.